Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My name is Lee Younger. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is a message I gave on Sunday morning, April 18th, 2021, out in our church in the park at Elm Grove Park in Oak Ridge. I was speaking from Matthew chapter 6. Okay, I'm going to start out with something that needs to be said. It's high time somebody said it, and so it's going to be me. Here we go. Everybody is lying about basically everything almost all the time. Anybody with me on that? Now, maybe that's on social media posts. Maybe that's face-to-face around the dining room table. Maybe that's at the office with people you work with. But hey, pretty much everybody is lying about almost everything basically all the time. And somebody needs to say that out loud. And then coordinated with that, I will then go on to say this thing that needs to be said. Living for the visible is killing us, y'all. It's killing us. Living for the visible is killing us. Now, let me break down those two little truth bombs for a second. Everybody's lying about pretty much everything all the time. What I mean to say is, you know, a lot of it's low key, okay? Not all of it's like huge, big, fat lies. Some of it's kind of low key lying. But what I mean is, you know, the way people kind of portray their marriages, their countertops, the workouts that they supposedly love, I guess that they're just really loving this new diet. Those are all lies. Their parenting, all of it. I heard one time a very true thing by the writer Anne Lamott. She said, whenever you meet somebody, you don't actually meet them, you meet their bodyguard, which is the person they pay to protect themselves from you. She said another true thing, which was amazing, which was all of us are struggling all the time because we compare our insides with everybody else's outsides. Everybody's lying pretty much all the time about basically everything. Maybe that's on social media posts. Maybe it's in the office. Maybe it's around the dining room table. And living for the visible is crushing us. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. What you do, what you have, or what anybody else thinks about you, that's living for the visible. Like if I ask you the question, how are you doing? And your honest response is conditioned by what you do, what you have, or what anybody else thinks about you. Does that make sense? That's living for the visible, and it is absolutely crushing us. For the past few weeks, through kind of the end of winter, through Lent, we've been looking at line by line at the Lord's Prayer. We've just been talking about every little piece of the Lord's Prayer in our times together on these Sunday mornings. And what I want to do as we have kind of finished that and wrapped it up is I want to talk for a second about the context of the Lord's Prayer. When did the Lord's Prayer happen in Scripture, and what was Jesus talking about when he laid it out? Okay, in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, it was right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which he was giving to his disciples, and he was setting for them, this is the vision of what the kingdom of God is like. This is what it's going to be like to live in the kingdom of God. This is what the subjects of that kingdom are like. And right smack dab in the middle of the vision for the kingdom of God, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer was in the middle of this section of the vision about the kingdom of God, where Jesus was saying two really important things. One, he said, God is invisible. You can't see him. And two, he loves secret stuff. He loves secrets. The invisible God loves secrets. This is really cool. I was looking this up this week. Most of you guys know that New Testament was not written in the English language. And in the original language it was written in, the word that we've translated into secrets is the Greek word crypto. That's the word. It's where we get the word encryption. Encrypted. Something that you could see it if you had the key to it. But if you don't, you don't see it at all. It just passes like it didn't even exist. It's like, and what Jesus is saying is God is invisible and he loves encrypted secret stuff. And so he said, here's what I want you to do. When you give, give encryptedly, secretly. When you pray, and then he gave us the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, all that stuff. He said, I want you to, no pray so a bunch of people can see you do it and say, man, that guy's amazing at praying. He's so good at that. I wish I had those praying skills. No, do it in secret, in crypto, encrypted, like a praying ninja. Like, get in, get out, leave no trace. That's the way you should give. That's the way you should pray. He said, when you fast, when you fast, when you are devoting yourself to the Lord and you're just giving your heart and your life to Him, and it's so much so that you might even skip some meals just because you're devoting yourself to Him. Don't do that in such a way that people are like, oh man, his hair's so messed up, his clothes are so raggedy, he must not have eaten for 3 days. Like, don't do it so anybody else can see it. Do it in an encrypted way. He says, wash your hair, put oil in it, you know, slick it back like those guys in The Godfather and stuff like that. Like, make everybody look like you're having a great time. You need to be secret. It's invisible. God is invisible and He loves secrets. And that's the whole context of the Lord's Prayer. And I realized when I was thinking about that this week, that my whole life, I just assumed, and maybe this is you too, y'all can let me know, I just assumed that God is invisible and loves secret stuff, and you know, He whispers in a still small voice and all that stuff, because He has to. Like, the rules at this time are that He has to be invisible and He has to whisper. He can't like show up and thunder. And then I realized, wait a minute, God is God. He doesn't have to be invisible. He could do whatever He wants to. He's not playing by the rules of the library like the rest of us. We all have to whisper when we're in their library. And I've always assumed that God was like the librarian. He has to whisper too. But that's not what's going on. He's God. He can show up. He can thunder. He could do it right now if He wants to. I have a feeling that He does show up for people. You hear stories like that sometimes. He could do it. So if He doesn't have to do it and He is being invisible and He does love secrets, we have a new question on our hands, which is, why? Why would He choose to do that? Why would God choose to be invisible and love the encrypted stuff? And I think there are probably a bunch of reasons, and I couldn't really delve into all of the theology of it, and I wouldn't get all of them right. But I think that at least one of those reasons is because everybody's lying to everybody else all the time about pretty much everything, and living for the visible, y'all, is killing us. What if... just go with me for a second. What if the reason that God is invisible at this stage of the game and loves whispering to us in a still small voice and loves us to be like in that ninjutsu where we pop in, pop out, leave no trace, do everything in secret so nobody sees it? What if the whole reason that He's doing that is because He's inviting you, wooing you, and training you for a life where you're not living for the visible? What if He's inviting you into a whole different kind of living, into a whole different kind of life? What if every single person you meet, you don't meet them, you meet their bodyguard? What if I'm constantly comparing my insides to everybody else's outsides? What if I look at what I do and I don't do, and it gets me down and discouraged because I compare it to what you do and what you don't do, and I feel like I'm less or worse or I'm not enough? Anybody ever go through that? What if I look at what I have or I don't have, and I look at you and your marriage and your kids and your house and your countertops? I've said countertops twice. I don't know why that's the thing. But what if I look at all that stuff and I feel like I don't have that stuff, or I have something else that's different, and that makes me somehow feel less or not enough? What if I think about the way everybody else is looking at my life and the way that they think about me and how they respond to me or how they don't respond to me, and that gets in my head so much that I feel down and like I'm not enough and like I'm less? And I think all of us are living like this kind of all the time. I think the more honest we are about it, we realize that this is the way that we operate. That what we do, what we have, and what everybody else thinks about us is the barometer by which we decide how we're doing today. That's what's conditioning my response to how are you? What I do, what I have, what everybody else thinks about me. And what if the invisible God who loves encrypted stuff is saying to you, hey, I got something else. I have something else I want to invite you into. And what if the whole thing about giving in secret and praying in secret and devoting yourself to the Lord completely in secret, what if that whole thing is like one of those training sequences in the old Rocky movies? It's like, it's the workout. It's like how we're getting ready for something better, something else. One time I was talking to Emmy Job, and she was like, oh, you love those movies that have the makeover scene. And I was like, no, it's not a makeover scene. It's a training sequence. And she was like, it's a makeover scene. And then I had to tuck my tail and realize she's right. It's a makeover scene. It's totally a makeover scene. But what if this whole thing, the invisible God and the encrypted life, what if the whole secret life thing is he's inviting us into a training sequence, into a makeover scene where we don't care what anybody else thinks of us anymore? Wouldn't that be amazing? Where we don't calculate what we're worth by what we do or don't do, by what we have or don't have. By the way, here's the really, really cool piece of this. As you walk into a secret relationship with the invisible God, you're going to learn some stuff. One, you did not get into this relationship by anything you did or didn't do. Amen? Amen. I think about the first time Peter met Jesus, and Jesus did an amazing thing with a fishing net. And Peter just looked at that, and he was like, uh-oh. And he looked at his own life, and he was like, I have done some horrible things, and I have left a lot of good things undone. Remember what he said to Jesus? He said, you need to go away from me. Because of what I've done and not done, Jesus, you need to be farther away from me. And Jesus was like, oh, no, baby, I want you in my hip pocket. Instead, he said, follow me. I want you right with me. No matter what you've done or not done, I want you closer to me. You did not get into this relationship by anything you did or did not do. And if that's not a reason to praise the Lord, I don't know what is. By the way, you don't maintain this relationship by anything you do or don't do. Or as the Apostle Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of works, so that no one can what? Boast. Nobody's got anything to brag about here because you didn't get into, nor do you maintain this relationship by anything you do or not do. As you go into the secret life that Jesus is calling you into with the invisible God, doing everything in an encrypted way, so nobody even sees it, you learn more and more. I didn't start this, nor do I keep it going by what I do or don't do. By the way, you didn't start this or keep it going by what you have or don't have. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus, he's got the weirdest math of anybody, which I appreciate because I really sucked at math. I actually told my college advisor, I want whatever major has the least amount of math. And he said, young man, that's not how you choose your future. And I was like, are you going to do what I'm asking you to do, or do I need to find a new advisor? Like, and I love this about Jesus. He has totally wacky math. One time he's in the temple, an old widow puts 2 pennies into the pot, and he was like, that's the biggest gift I've ever seen. And everybody's like, excuse me, what? One time Jesus said, you know, there's a bigger party in heaven over 1 than over 99. And everybody's like, can you add? Jesus said, he told a story one time where the guy that worked 1 hour got paid the same as the dudes who worked all the hours. And I'm like, that's the kind of math I could get in with right there. Like, what you have or don't have is not what got you into this relationship, and it's not what keeps it going. Praise the Lord. That's such good news. Or as the Apostle Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, he said, whatever was gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He said, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness that's not from the law, but is by grace through faith. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And that makes me say, amen. I didn't get into this relationship because of what I do or what I don't do. I don't keep it going by what I have or don't have. And by the way, you didn't get into this because of what anybody else thinks about you. You remember the last week of Jesus's life when Mary of Bethany broke a jar of perfume and poured it all over Jesus's head, all over his feet. It filled up the whole house with the smell of it. And the disciples start going off on her. They start berating her. They're raking her over the coals, making fun of her, and they were angry about it. And Jesus, in one of the most beautiful moments in all the Gospels, said, leave her alone. Jesus doesn't care what anybody else thinks of you. Everybody else thinks it's a waste. Everybody else thinks it's foolish. Everybody else is angry with you and going off on you. You know what Jesus said? He said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. And by the way, the gospel, wherever it goes, they're going to tell this story of this moment. That's what I think about it. And she's like, high five, Jesus. That was awesome. It's not based on what anybody else thinks of you. Or as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. That's some good stuff. That's some good news. I think God is calling us into an invisible life with Him, an encrypted life, where we think and we talk and we see Him who is invisible, and we're moving all the time in this secret relationship with Him all throughout our day and all of our other relationships and everything else we do, because He's training us, wooing us away from a world where everybody's crushed by living for the visible. He's wooing us out of that and training us for something so much sweeter. A place where it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you don't have. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. And by the way, the more that I love that, it changes what I do and don't do. It changes what I think about what I have and don't have. And it gets me to a place where I just care what He thinks about me. It gets me to that place where I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." The more I live for the invisible one who loves the encrypted life, the more I find out what pleases Him. If you're thinking, that all sounds really yummy, that sounds really good, that sounds delicious, I don't know how to just turn the switches off of like caring about what I do or what I have or what everybody else thinks, I think the place you start is you start doing the secret stuff. You start seeing Jesus in every room that you walk into. When you get in your car, imagine Him sitting in one of the seats. When you walk into a different room in your house, have a place in your mind for Him to be in that room. When you're by yourself, talk to Him out loud. These are things that are helpful. Just have a secret something with Jesus all day long. Every conversation you're in, when you're done with it, talk to Him about it. Every temptation you feel, every victory you have, every defeat that you suffer, all of it, just talk to all of Him about it. Without guilt, without shame, just talk to Him. By the way, He's there anyway. The invisible one loves the encrypted life because He's calling you into something with Him. He's calling you into a place of freedom where you are not bound to what you have, what you do, and what anybody else thinks of you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for the life You're calling us into. Thank You for the fact that You're here with us right now. For maybe one of the first times in my life, I'm glad You're invisible. Because I can have You in every room, even when people don't even know it. I can have You in every conversation. I can have You in every situation. Help us to grow in the secret. Help us to grow in the encrypted life with You, the invisible one, so that we can get to a place where we are not bound by what we do, by what we have, or by what anybody else thinks of us. We love You. Thank You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.